This is a Fox News alert. It's Liberation Day for Washington, D.C. I'm Dave Anthony. That's what President Trump has just declared.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor.
He's putting the Washington, D.C. Metro Police under federal control.
In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety.
And while D.C. police say crime is down 7% this year, 26% lower for violent crime than last year,
the number of car thefts has doubled over the past 5 years, and the number of carjackings has more than tripled. Murders in 2023 reached the highest rate probably ever.
The president's vowing to go after gangs and drug dealers and those here illegally committing crimes, and he wants to move the homeless far from the Capitol. A court ruling this morning, another roadblock in the attempt to make more information public about Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking scheme involving underage girls.
New York-based U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmayer, a Barack Obama appointee, is denying the Department of Justice's request to release transcripts of a secret grand jury testimony that led to the sex trafficking indictment of Jeffrey Epstein's former partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. The judge's ruling in part that the release of information would risk unraveling the foundations of secrecy upon which the grand jury is premised.
That's Fox's Jeff Manasso. Maxwell serving a 20-year prison sentence. Epstein committed suicide awaiting trial. Ahead of Friday's summit in Alaska between President Trump and Russian leader Vladimir Putin trying to work out a ceasefire in Ukraine, Germany's chancellor has invited the president to a virtual meeting with NATO and European leaders, and Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky says they will not give up land to the occupiers.
Any decision that are against us, any decisions that are without Ukraine, are at the same time decisions against peace. They will not achieve anything.
A new tropical storm is in the Atlantic named Aaron, still far away off the coast of Africa. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Manoa Tuyasosopo. A new running club in Yuma is picking up some serious momentum. More than 200 locals turned out on Saturday morning for the Canal Run Club's weekly meetup. The club is quickly becoming a community staple, drawing crowds of fitness enthusiasts and first-time runners to the sidewalks every weekend. The organizers say the response has been far beyond what they ever expected. And a mobile message made its way through downtown Yuma over the weekend. The animal rights group PETA brought its mobile campaign to get diners thinking twice about what's on their plates. It looked like a real pig transport truck and was equipped with sounds of panicked pigs en route to a slaughterhouse. PETA's reaching out to local restaurants along their route, encouraging them to add vegan options to all their menus. PETA says the ultimate goal is to start a conversation, not just about animal welfare, but about healthier and more sustainable food choices. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m.
Sunny and hot weather continues, as you'd expect in August. 111 with sunshine today and tomorrow. 84, the nighttime lows both nights. Humidity stays with us, too. For Wednesday, sunny and 108. 84 on Wednesday night.
You've heard about Dreamlux, affordable luxury remodeling for baths and showers, but did you know Dreamlux is also your local choice for stunning, energy-efficient windows and doors? Right now, take advantage of our summer special. Get up to 20% off your entire project when you combine a shower or tub remodel with a window or door replacement. Locally owned and operated, Dreamlux is an Energy Star partner with award-winning American-made products built to last. Call 928-236-5694 or visit dreamlux.us today. Dreamlux. Affordable, local, luxurious.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the Patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Well, I'm sitting here with one of my good friends, Lee Pooley. Lee, for those that can't see you, you are a specimen to behold.
I don't know about that.
You're what, 6'4"?
6'2".
6'4"?
Thanks.
Okay.
I'll take it.
That's like football. Did you play football growing up?
You know what? It's funny. Football is one of my favorite sports, but I was always that skinny guy. Yeah. I was that skinny guy that I did play my freshman year before they even had freshman football. I learned early on that my body was not built for football. So after that, I went to cross country and track, which I'm more built for.
I remember you telling me about the cross country thing. Yeah, well, I bring that up because I remember seeing, if you ever saw a program at a football game, at a high school football game, these guys look like they're playing NFL ball. I mean, they're like 6'8", 400 pounds. It's like, I know that kid.
Definitely not me.
He's about 5'6". He might be 400 pounds, but he's 5'6".
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
And you grew up in Flagstaff?
I did. I grew up in Flagstaff, Arizona, born and raised. Felt pretty blessed to have grown up in such a beautiful area. As a matter of fact, I was there last week for a funeral, unfortunately. But it was just great being back home. And although I do consider Yuma home now, growing up in Flagstaff was just, for me, it was a blessing to be able to be around nature, which I love, and be around so many natural resources like the Grand Canyon or other canyons, and culturally rich environment where I could enjoy. And growing up, you don't know that. You don't realize that where you live and the...
You take it for granted?
Yeah, you do saying? Definitely take it for granted. And it's not until later on when you grow up, and obviously living here in Yuma, we don't have that nice greenery and forest that we have up there, and I appreciate it more. But even at the time, I knew it was a beautiful place, and it was very close to family. I did live on the reservation, Navajo Reservation, which we might talk about later on, but it was close to family as well. So
I feel like you always take advantage of your surroundings. What I mean by that is, I'll be on social media, and I'll see a post from you. You don't post like all the time. You're not this influencer by any means, but you'll post and it'll usually be like you're out somewhere, you've hiked somewhere, and it's just gorgeous landscaping and things like that. Is that accurate, you think?
That is accurate. I do love being outdoors. I love, like I said, it all comes from my growing up in Flagstaff and being a young Boy Scout and having that around me. That really instilled in me a sense of appreciation of the natural beauty. And so, yeah, like you said, I do post once in a while, and it's usually some cool hike that I went to or some canyon that I felt like I discovered and found different things from rock formations to ruins.
But when I see these pictures, it's like, I know just by looking at it, it wasn't off the road. It took a while to get to where you were to take that picture, and I always admire that. Do you think that comes, that nature stuff, from your dad, from your mom, both?
You know what? I know my dad always instilled in me the appreciation of nature, but yeah, I think both. But again, just living in that environment and having church leaders and young men's leaders and scout leaders that really took advantage of the area that we lived in. So I just naturally love it. Gear, I head in that direction of enjoying it.
You grew up in Flagstaff, but you had a lot of connection to the reservation. Is that Chinle? Is that the res?
It is a town, little community called Greasewood, Arizona.
So that's to the east of Flagstaff?
It is to the east. I guess the nearest town.
Oh, really?
Consider town would be Ganado, Arizona, or Holbrook, Arizona.
Holbrook, I've heard of.
Yes.
Holbrook. So that, what's the reservation there?
So it's a Navajo reservation. Yeah. And the for those that don't know, the Navajo reservation is the largest Indian reservation in the United States. It actually encompasses about maybe a sixth of Arizona. It's pretty huge. And some of it is in Utah, Arizona, the majority, and New Mexico.
How much Navajo are you, would you say?
So I am a mixture of Navajo, Hopi, and even some Mexican.
Okay.
And so it's, I'm a half. And again, I grew up on the Navajo reservation for a while, but I was very also close to my Hopi side, which the Hopi reservation is located within the Navajo reservation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're talking about in the Holbrook area, you've got the huge Navajo reservation. And then within that is Hopi?
Within that, you have the Little Hopi Reservation, which is pretty unique because it's one of those tribes that were never relocated. So that's their natural, or their historically, their...
Roots?
Roots, I guess you could say. Traditional land.
Do Navajo get along with the Hopi?
No. Which is funny because...
The federal government's like, you know what? You guys are going to get along here. We're going to shove you next to each other.
Traditionally, they don't. It's funny because you have one reservation located within another reservation, and historically, they haven't gotten along. Nowadays, you see mixed couples, families.
Oh.
It's very common.
They're assimilating.
But yes, it's just one of those things historically, though, and it's more of a joke now than anything. Oh, those dang Navajos, those dang Hopis, and... Mm-hmm. Of course, with more colorful language, but it's very unique. But it's definitely a cool place to visit and grow up.
So if somebody were to speak Navajo, would you understand that?
I would recognize it as Navajo, and I would recognize the bad words, of course.
Oh, really? So there's bad words in Navajo?
Oh, absolutely. I think in any language. So yes, I would understand.
I don't believe that. I don't believe the Navajo.
They're too
sacred.
That's right.
To have bad
that's
words.
Right. And their line is they walk in beauty. So yeah, you're right. No, but it's true. They do have bad words. And one of those things you learn younger growing up, especially being on a bus full of kids.
Oh yeah.
You're going to learn those things. But it is unique, the language itself. I know it's one of the hardest languages to learn, right up there with Mandarin Chinese. And so I didn't learn it. I wish I had paid more attention to family and taking advantage of that, but I didn't.
So it's on your mom's side?
My dad's side.
Really? So your dad was the Navajo?
Navajo and Hopi, yeah.
I didn't know that. I never met him. I heard a lot about him, what an awesome guy he was, but I never met him.
Yeah, great guy, great man. But again, living out there, you just grow up around it. It's just something you hear naturally. Even now, today, even when I work in my current job, I might see somebody and I recognize them like, that person's a Navajo.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You can spot one a mile away. Each other. I say like each other. It's just one of those things. But Hopi is also very unique. The language is more Aztecan. So it's very unique as well.
I thought the Hopi, when you said Hopi, I thought there's a couple tribes that when I hear their name, I'm like, ooh, those are the ones you got to whip back in the day, you know, that were the, I guess, the fighters. And to me, it's not a bad thing. You know, they're fighting to maintain what they had, like the Apache.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You know, you got Geronimo, Cochise. But I thought the Hopi were in that camp. Maybe they weren't.
No, the Hopi, even now today, are very traditional. They're, I don't want to say anti-government, but they were known as being the hostiles. They were against the government. Even I had family, great uncles that were sent to Alcatraz. People don't know this.
Oh, you went there recently.
I did. I just recently went there. Thanks for noticing on my post. But yes, so people don't know this, that the Hopi, they were very anti-government, and they didn't want any, outside influence. And they were part of the reservation or tribes that wanted the children to go to school, learn new things. However, the majority did not. And so there was a group, and this is all, I don't want to bore you, but it's pretty interesting how there was a group of parents that did not want their children to go to school, government school.
American school.
American school, yes.
U.S. schools.
U.S. schools. And so they sent them to prison, try to coerce them, and saying, well, if you're not going to go to school, we're going to send you to prison. They were there for a long time.
Is that right?
And they weren't just there in the prison. They were there in an area that was way worse than the prison life.
Really?
They hardly saw the sun. They were just fed very minimal, you know, minimum portions, and they didn't crack. So the government got tired of them and just sent them home eventually.
This is the Hopi?
This is the Hopi, yes. So
when do you think this was? You remember, like, the time frame? Alcatraz was still operating as a prison?
That I don't know, but I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But, it was several four generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe early, maybe late 1800s.
Oh, okay. That far back.
And maybe even up to the 1900s. Again, I don't want to confuse anybody, but it can be looked up. What's funny is that a lot of people don't know that.
No, I didn't know until you
went. Idea. And going back to what your original question was about the Hopi, they, again, are fiercely traditional. Even now, I go up there, and I go into a town, my village, called Hot Villa. They still don't have electricity.
Really?
They still don't have running water. They don't allow photography in the village. They're just very, very traditional. And I'll take my family there, and they'll accept them because they're with me. But other than that, they're kind of closed off to outsiders.
How about Kelsey, your wife?
So with her, it's funny because we would see tourists come in, and during something called a Kachina dance, which it's not a powwow like people think of. It's something where it's very centuries old tradition of having men dressed up as these, they're not gods, but they're messengers from our creator. And so they come and they dance in the plaza and they give gifts to people. But there are also, and they represent good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a group called the clowns, and they are there to create trouble, mischief, evil.
That's cool.
They represent the evil of the world.
I say that's cool because it's like, oh, I'm starting to see the dichotomy between good and evil.
Yes.
And the tribe has known that for centuries. Like they have these stories that they've been passing on from generation to generation, that there is a God and there's good and there's evil.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting.
And so they teach that through these dances throughout the year. And these clowns, they often take these outsiders. They'll see maybe a white person out in the audience.
Oh man, that's scary.
And they'll bring them into the middle. And I've heard back in the day they would actually do embarrassing things, like maybe pour water on them, or I don't know, different things. So they still do it now. Of course, it's a different day today. You're not going to touch them or anything, but they're going to make fun of them. But as they see Kelsey and my children, they know to leave them alone because they're with us. They're with me. They're part of the in group, so it's pretty interesting to see that. And yeah, I like it.
Is that where your dad made Kachina dolls, right?
He did. He's very famous for that. If you Google him, you'll see some of his work. It's something that I wish that I had learned more. I'd done plenty of painting. It was the carving that I didn't get into. And as a matter of fact, those listeners that don't know, my father passed away from COVID in 2021, early 2021. And as a matter of fact, that summer I was planning on taking a couple of weeks and just learning it.
Mm-hmm.
Even recording him doing things I never did. Mm. So I have all of the equipment now, and it's something I want to learn based off what I've know, what I've seen, and pictures that I have. But I have people calling saying, hey, are you getting into this? Because we really want to buy. So he was pretty famous for that. And his father. His father started a new style. He's in a few books that people have written about Kachina dolls and history. On that, on Route 66, Flagstaff, mm-hmm. the Hopi Reservation, yeah.
So those little dolls, that's the connection then. So little dolls were made as a representation of this Kachina dance that has been going on for probably centuries.
Yeah, and he made big dolls too for collectors. Even people like, I remember Michael Jackson bought one.
Is that
Eddie
right?
Murphy, Jay Leno, Steve Young. He made them for people that order them. They were specifically the bigger version dolls. The smaller version were more for, I guess, tourists and made to sell. But yes, they do represent the same thing. And traditionally, those smaller dolls are given to children or to girls during those Kachina dances.
Oh, cool.
Whereas the boys were given bows and arrows and things like that. So.
Very cool. And I mean, what I remember of Kachina dolls, my grandparents were into Kachina dolls. They had all sorts of them. And they're gorgeous. They were super cool. I remember them as a boy, and I was fascinated with them. And
you grew up in Arizona, right?
What's that?
You grew up in Arizona? Uh-huh,
yeah, southern Arizona. And what I remember was each one of them was kind of like, most of them had animal type characteristics, if you will. It might be like a wolf or a coyote snout or...
Oh, yeah, birds, owls, eagles. Absolutely, yes.
So is that indicative of what the Navajo believe as far as when they're doing these Kachina dances? Is that... Like the dolls, they're dressed up as what would be an animal or looks like an animal?
Yeah, so the Hopi, yeah, they do. Again, going back, so a little history here. These Kachina dolls, the Kachinas themselves, they're not gods, but they are messengers from the creator who lives behind the sun.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aid.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Are you a self-starter with a passion for media and marketing? Eldorado Broadcasters is hiring remote independent sales contractors. Sell radio ads and digital campaigns from anywhere on your schedule. You'll earn commission-only income with unlimited potential. Backed by a supportive team, you set your hours, work your own leads, and earn commission on every sale. If you're driven, disciplined, and love helping businesses grow, we want to hear from you. Apply now and start building your future in media sales. Email your resume to edbroadcasters.com today. Take the first step now.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So they come down certain times of the year, and they do represent certain things. Again, when we think of an eagle, what do we think of? Something majestic, something that flies high. He's a messenger from our creator, our Heavenly Father. And you think of something like an owl, again, also a messenger. There's different things like a badger. He's more of a medicine man. He cures. He's able to overcome sickness. You look at a badger today, they're pretty resilient animals, and they kind of represent, I guess, what they would believe when looking at them. Again, eagle, badger, whatever it may be, represents their belief system of what it could be.
So you believe in Jesus Christ. You're a Christian.
I am.
And you've lived a lifelong church-type environment life. Have you found it hard to embrace some of those things, or is it kind of fit in line with what you've been taught since a boy?
That's a good question. Well, in my belief, in my religion, the LDS religion, it's funny because my grandfather was very traditional at the time. Growing up, he was told by his own uncle that he shouldn't join the Hopi religion. That he was told in a dream that he would find the religion, true religion, and bring it back. What's interesting, and I know there's many listeners on here from different faiths, but just to give you an insight of what I believe is that the Hopi religion and the LDS religion Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they actually align very well. There are certain things that are done within the LDS religion that are the same thing as the Hopi.
Interesting.
Different ceremonies, different things that are said, different belief systems as far as having a Heavenly Father and somebody who's going to return again someday.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, today, Hopis are buried the very same day, and they're buried sitting down or kneeling down facing east on the side of a mesa. And they do that because they believe the great God is going to come back from the east, and they're going to rise again. And so they're prepared to meet him mm-hmm. as they rise. So that's why they're kneeling down or sitting in preparation for that return.
That's awesome. As you're talking, I'm thinking, man, I remember the story you told me. I don't know if you want to get into it, but
I don't know how much you want to get on here. I don't, but yeah,
this was years ago, but you mentioned that it's not all fun and games on the reservation, especially at night.
Mm, yes. Yes, definitely. So going into that, again, the reservation is a very unique place, and I've taken many friends out there growing up.
Yeah.
And some of them either loved it or they said, I'm not coming back.
Why?
So I think people know that strange things happen out there. And I've always been one of those guys. I've always been intrigued by, I guess, what people would call paranormal. Okay, I'm not one of those weirdos. Okay, but there are things that have happened that I can't deny.
Okay.
Okay. I've witnessed things. I've experienced things that I just can't deny.
Yeah.
And I don't know how deep you want to go into this, but yes, I've had things happen to me as I'm driving as a teenager that affect me still to this day. And I wonder, does it really happen? And I've, one instance I had something chasing me that really defied logic as far as how high it was, how tall it was, its speed of running, and just the way my dog reacted.
How old were you at the time?
I was 14 at the time. And yes, I was driving. So
the reservation.
The reservation, there's really no rules and no police to enforce it if there were any. And I was 14. Do you want me to get into this?
Let's do it.
All right. So again, here I am on camera talking about my experience, but it really did happen. And I was 14 years old. Here's a short version. I took a worker, my grandma's worker, home for the evening. And when I say worker, he was really just a local drunk who did odd jobs around the house and for his money. And as I took him home, it was evening time. I was with my dog and my brother in the back of my dog was in the back of the truck.
How old is your brother? Is he younger?
He was 5 years younger than me. So he was 9. Yeah. Who's now, he was in the military. It was an infantry and a medic, and he'll still tell me, yes, that happened. I was there. It happened. And he'll remind me it happened. Again, so we dropped off this worker, we'll say, and as we're leaving the house, the sun is setting behind us, and I just get this terrible feeling that something's wrong, just this feeling of fear, dread, and in doing so, I see something on the side of the road that I thought was a sheep, because there's a lot of free-roaming sheep out on the reservation. You got to be careful when you're driving out there, and it stood up as I passed it. And it started chasing me, or chasing us. My dog is going crazy. And even in my head right now, it's not as clear, but my memory, I do remember my dog barking like crazy, my brother crying. And his words were, it's coming up on your side. So I saw this thing running after me, and it had long arms. It had hair covering it. Again, saying it out loud, it sounds crazy. I know. But this is what I saw. And as soon as I saw that I was about to get to my tailgate, and it was almost like the movie, like Jurassic Park, where you're looking in the side mirror and you see the words object in mirror closer than they appear. That's what comes to mind. But it was chasing us. And right the moment I thought it was going to pull up to my side or run to my side, there was a car coming the opposite way and had its headlights on, and the thing took off like that. I didn't know where it went. I don't know if it just took off the side or if it somehow disappeared or if it went off and chased the other vehicle. I don't know.
It was just gone.
But it did happen. But the funny part of this story is that, of course, we're going about 45, 50 miles on this dirt road, which is might not sound like a lot, but on a dirt road with a washboard, that's pretty fast. So we're fishtailing. We get home to my grandma's house, and we just run inside. My brother crying, my dog barking. My dog even came inside, which was not normal. but yeah, and as soon as we get in, and this is the funny part, we told my grandma, and we thought she was going to be surprised and say, hey, are you okay? She just said, yeah, stuff like that happens around here.
Really?
And we're taken back, like, what? And so it's just one of those things, other experiences that I've had as well. I've had many experiences, but that's just one of them that kind of, again, back to your question, things that happen on the reservation. So if any listeners out there don't believe me, I welcome you to come on out. You're very, I'll be happy to show you some of these areas and we'll see how you feel after spending the night out there.
So what do you think it was after all these years?
Oh, man.
Now that you have some years to look back,
so, of you've course, matured. Right now you see online all the things that people talk about around the world. The internet has made a world a small place. But traditionally, I'll tell you what grandma told me what it was. Okay. Grandma said it was a skinwalker. So a skinwalker is a human being, which makes it scarier. It's a human. It's a person. Somebody who works in black magic. So somebody that's actually, you know, it's more tangible. It's not like a spirit or a ghost. It's actually somebody who uses that evil for gain. Traditionally, I was told that skinwalkers were a protector, somebody in the tribe that would use to protect their own tribe or fight other tribes. Mm-hmm. It has since then been used as bad, evil, and for gain. And it's been polluted, and it's just something that's, again, the word for it is evil.
Really? And so how do you become one?
I don't know exactly. I know I've always been told that you have to heal somebody close to you.
Really?
Family, friend, somebody that you know. And again, I don't want to get into all the craziness of it, but it's I know what I saw. I've had other experiences. I've had family and my mother who would never tell me anything that she didn't believe. And she had no reason to tell me a lie. She's had things happen out there. And I didn't find out until I was an adult some of the things that she experienced.
Probably, yeah, she didn't want to freak you out.
And she had no reason to tell us. But again, the invite is open. Anybody want to get a hold of me, I'll take you out there and you'll have an experience.
We'll go camping?
I'll be in the... Somewhere. You guys can camp out there, but we'll be out there.
You don't want to be out in the open?
I've been there, done that. We used to sleep on a trampoline at my grandma's house, and it was, you know, built into the ground. And after that experience, I never did that again. And I never drove out at night on the reservation until I was, I think, 21.
Wow.
When I came back from my church mission.
Wow. Where'd you go on your mission?
So I started a church mission in Ecuador.
Yeah.
Wonderful place. Wonderful country.
Where specifically is Quito?
Guayaquil, south.
Guayaquil. My brother served there.
Yeah, so we have the Galapagos Islands, which I did not get to go to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool that he did.
Did you know what you're getting into when you went to Ecuador?
I wanted a mission where I would learn a language, where I would, it'd be hard, and I would have difficulty because I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
I got that. There was no air conditioning. I remember thinking, this is terrible. We had fans, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And it was humid, it was hot, and just dirty. However, I did go to work. I did work in other areas that were beautiful, up in the mountains, along the coast, that were just gorgeous, and very green and very lush. But working in the city itself, yeah, it was pretty bad. I did work in an area. It was on an island, I should say. So I did work on an island.
Really?
Yeah, it was
okay. So there's more islands than just the Galapagos?
Well, yes, but this island was also ranked by National Geographic, and we saw the link or the article. It was ranked the armpit of South America.
What?
Yeah. So it was so bad that we couldn't live on the island. We had to, and it was connected by road. There was bridges.
Okay.
But we had to travel there every day. Even though it was our area, we couldn't live in that area because it was just shacks.
Uh-huh.
Many murders. This is really bad.
Okay.
Very poor and very just poverty, but wonderful people, just bad circumstances for them.
Did you have to walk there?
Everything was walking or bus or.
You didn't do bikes?
We, you know, they would get stolen. So we had no bikes. Everything was walking or a bus, or somebody would get a ride from somebody in the back of a truck.
Did you pick up Quechua?
Again, just the bad words. First things you learn. So we did learn some words.
The greatest way to bring people to Jesus.
Right, exactly. Learn the bad words.
Learn the cuss words in their language.
It's funny, as missionaries, and you might have noticed this as well, people will try to say things to you in English. Usually it's hello, teacher, or it's a bad word.
Yes.
Or a bad exactly. word.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And they say, my experience was they were like perfectly said too.
Because somebody taught them. Yes, exactly.
I think it's our movies. They watch all of our Hollywood movies and they just say what they hear.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The teenagers in the street where I was, it's just like they would just let it rip.
Yes, they would. But yes, it was quite an experience. I didn't learn Quechua, but I learned a couple of words and phrases. But Spanish, absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you been back?
I have not.
But you just went to Argentina not too long ago.
Yeah, I went to Argentina.
How did that compare to Ecuador? Better?
It was a lot safer, I would say, and a lot cleaner. Even though I think Argentina, in my head, was always one of the first world countries, and especially in South America, it was top tier.
I kind of have that feeling too. I don't know if it's true, but in my mind, when I think of South America, I think Argentina is up here. Yeah. And everybody else kind of ranks below that. I don't know why that is, though.
I've always thought that, but that's not the case. Where I went, it was actually really poor.
In Mendoza?
I went to Mendoza, where my mom served, and I was able to visit her and come home. But I spent a week there.
Yeah.
And beautiful area, beautiful people, great people. But it did remind me of being back in Ecuador again, the road systems and just or lack of roads, I should say.
Yeah.
Trash. But it was...
Is it so like dirt?
A lot of it was dirt.
Or roads, really?
Roads, where we went. But the city itself was the main city, of course, like a regular city. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
A lot of trees.
I recently heard that about Mexico City. My brother went to Mexico City and he said, you know, when the city limits end, like it is a significant difference in roads and infrastructure, it just stops. And beyond that point, it's just kind
of. That's probably a lot of places. Like that in a lot of places besides the U.S. I don't think we understand how blessed we are here.
Yeah.
To have the infrastructure and systems in place.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
We're the comfort experts, people you can trust. Ask our customers. That's why they count on us. Over 50 years of service, keep us going strong. We've got a name you can depend upon. Hansberger Refrigeration and Electric. Hansberger, count on us.
Hi, I'm your kid's old jeans. I've been in the drawer for a while and really missed the playground. You should swing by Goodwill and drop me off. Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. Plus, I can get back into the game. Donate today. Tag, you're it.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also the home of expert spray and bed liners, spraying mil-spec protective coatings, committed to unwavering excellence and unparalleled customer service. Expert liners, with available national warranty coverage and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray on team at Truckmates. Truckmates is also the home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And don't forget 3M window tinting, the originators of window tinting with nationwide lifetime warranty at Truckmates. That's expert spray and bed liners, BDS suspensions, 3M window tinting, and Snug Top, all at Truckmates. 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Eddie's Food and Drink, CNS Signs, Bang Auto Glass, Mary Kay and Nancy Sabalos, and MB Flooring LLC. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria@yumachamber.org. That's Valeria@yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
At Exceptional Community Hospital Yuma, we are committed to delivering compassionate care and exceptional services. With a concierge-style approach to patient care, you will experience short wait times and medical attention that's fast, professional, and personalized. We accept all insurance plans, honor in-network benefits, and are nationally accredited for quality and patient safety. Exceptional Community Hospital Yuma, where you are never just a patient. You are family.
News Talk 560 KBLU, where Yuma comes to talk.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
I agree. I just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Is there another way, Lee, that we can come up with maintaining our streets and our infrastructure without paying taxes?
I think that once we figure that out, we'll both be multimillionaires. So,
I'm not saying us personally. I'm saying our society.
I'm saying us. Okay. But yeah, as a society, exactly. It would be great, but I don't know.
You think we have to have a way to put money in the pot to pay for our infrastructure?
I should ask you that. You're a smarter man than me.
I'm going to say no.
I don't know.
My thought process is let's find the money from somewhere else.
It would be nice.
Mexico.
There you go.
They got to pay for our wall and our streets.
Now we're going to get political.
Yeah, we're going to get political. Bringing us to that, so you have spent a long time in your career as you work for the federal government.
I do.
And how did you get it? How did you make that choice?
So having moved to Yuma, because when I finished my mission, my parents actually moved to Yuma while I was serving my mission. Mm. And they said, hey, you were going to NAU in Flagstaff. Why don't you come to NAU in Yuma? It's NAU Yuma, and you can live with us. We haven't seen you for 2 years. Live rent-free. I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. So I came down. They ended up moving on me a year later, but I stayed here. And I actually fell in love with Yuma. Yeah. Growing up in Flagstaff, I had a friend move to Yuma, and we made fun of him. Because we were always told that Yuma was the armpit of Arizona. And as you drive through it, there's nothing here. And still, even today, you drive through it, you're not going to really see Yuma from the interstate, as most towns or cities. Mm-hmm. But I got here, and I loved it. And I stayed here. I did go to NAU. And my goal was to join federal law enforcement. My dad was working in probation at the time, and I wanted to do something else. I was, too. I started working in probation, juvenile probation. And he said, you know what? If you wanted, as far as a career, go federal law enforcement, not state, not city, federal. And
do you know why? Did he say
he was more for like just for the retirement. Financial reasons, retirement. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being a police officer. I have a lot of friends and family that are police officers. They're great. They actually do very well too. But I think at the time as a parent, he saw, hey, there's good benefits, good retirement. So he kind of geared me in that direction. So my goal initially was to do something I thought was more prestigious, like the FBI, DEA, something in a suit and tie. And so that was my goal. However, here in Yuma, we have a lot of federal law enforcement that are Border Patrol. So there is Border Patrol here in Yuma, and I saw that. And so I saw that as something, as a stepping stone to get into something I thought, again, was more prestigious. Everybody knows who FBI is. Everybody knows who DEA is, mm-hmm. ETF. So I did join the Border Patrol. And I was going to initially use it as a stepping stone. However, once I got in, I'm like, this is great. I get to be outdoors. I get paid for it. I get to hike and I get paid for it. I get to do all these cool things and work all these cool toys and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And paid pretty well. I'll never be a rich man, but I'm going to have a really good retirement. Mm-hmm. And it's, I look forward to that. That's in 5 years if I wanted
to. I mean, you're secure.
I am.
And when you say rich, I mean, that's subjective.
It is.
You have everything you need.
I will have everything I need. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to it.
I will. You will have, yeah. Or you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids.
They're pretty awesome. Yeah, it's, I am blessed.
But someday you'll have.
I am blessed. That's right. I'm looking for land. That's what I want.
Oh, that's what the next. That's going to make you. That's the. That's going to make it complete.
No, and it has been a blessing in my life, which is the reason why I became a recruiter. So I recently moved from Utah, and I was on assignment there as a recruiter, opening up that area for recruitment for federal law enforcement and for our agency. And it was great to see lives change.
Yeah.
See people that were in my position thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if I could do federal law enforcement. It's kind of up here, and maybe it's kind of out of my reach, or I'm not tough enough for that. However, you talk to people and you help them realize, you know, this is something you can do, and it's a life changer, or it can lead into something else that you want to do.
Yeah. So did you like that role?
What's the
headhunting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was.
What would you look for?
So we focused more on military.
Ex-military?
Current, ex.
Really?
Okay. National Guard. Everything that had military.
Why?
Because a lot of times, of course, military, if they've worked in the military, they already have federal service. People don't know that that time in service counts with us. Typically, when you get out of the military, they say you do 5 years, and they have to go start another job. They kind of lose those 5 years. However, with us, even if they did it 30 years ago, those 5 years will be added on to their time in service with us, and they don't know that, so they can get paid in the retirement those extra 5 years.
And so are you talking about the pay scale, the federal pay scale, the GS, whatever? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, but I'm mostly talking about just it gets added on to their retirement. So when they retired, those 5 years that they did will be added on. Instead of doing 20 years with us, they retire 20 years, they get 25 years because they work.
I see. Because I guess, yeah, they don't have, maybe they do, I don't know, the military pay structure. I don't know if it's on that scale that you guys are.
It's a different scale. But also, just because of discipline, they've been through training, they know how to handle a firearm, they know how to take orders, and it just, so it's an ideal. Mm-hmm. We also get those young kids that are 18 years old that are coming out, or those that have just come out of college. They don't know what they want to do. And we show them, hey, you know what, you could use your degree here, or if you don't have one, we can help. We can find something for you that is good. Because in my profession, people think, oh, we just do one thing. There's so many other things. You can be an instructor. You can do intelligence. You can be a pilot. You can do just drones, sensors. Our tactical team. We do international things.
What's the medical one? Borstar.
Borstar, search, trauma, and rescue. Which those guys are pretty awesome. They're out there doing their thing and saving lives, and that's their mission. But I mean, I got to go to Utah for 3 years. That was great. I didn't want to come home. I didn't want to come back.
All the mountains, all that adventure.
All the adventures. But there's so
what does that look like? I'm curious because when I think of a recruiter for the military, for example, they usually have an office set up somewhere down in a shopping mall. And, you know.
Well, since we were standing up that
walk
program.
In and, hey, I want to join.
Right.
Where do I sign?
That would be nice.
What were you doing? Do you have an office?
My office was my home, so I was pretty fortunate that I was able to work from home. However, because it was so brand new, we didn't have anything like that set up. So,
Wait, this is new? It was new at the time, this kind of role, or just to you?
It was new all in general. We've never had recruiters working full-time in the interior parts of the country. Just along the border, everybody knows who we are. Everybody sees us.
So you don't need it.
We don't need it. But being able to go to Utah and go to Brigham Young University or Utah State University and talk to these students that maybe they didn't study criminal justice, maybe they were becoming a teacher, and try to entice them and say, hey, you know what, you could still be an instructor and work with us if that's something they wanted to do. Just, we had to work with everybody, from, like I said, from military to brand new graduates to introducing this to the high school students, because, you know, once they turn 18, they're eligible to join. People don't know that. I didn't know that. I thought I had to be 21, but we have guys coming in at 18 years old, believe it or not. So it's been a great career.
Why there? I mean, because I've heard I don't know if this is true, but I thought this is what I knew about the CIA and the FBI in particular, is that they focus there in Provo, in that area, a lot. Like, they heavy recruit that area. Is that accurate, or is that just kind of
very true? So we would be there working alongside some of these CIA members or the NSA. And believe it or not, well, give an example. We'd be at a job fair, simple job fair at BYU, and we're sitting right next to the NSA and CIA and FBI. A place like BYU, and my whole family's gone to BYU. My parents, my siblings, my in-laws, they've all gone to BYU. I'm the black sheep and didn't go to BYU. But as we go there, I think it was funny to see how nobody would come to our booth, which is weird because we were always the popular one. We always are.
What do you mean? Like everywhere else?
Every other school.
AWC, for example?
Yeah, AWC or let's say University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV. People would come to us because they knew who we are. They might see us on TV as an interest now in that. And they would come and flood our table. However, a place like BYU, they didn't. And I think they want to do something again. Kind of what I want to do, but something more prestigious. CIA, DEA, NSA. What was funny is that these recruiters from the CIA say, hey, you know what? You want to join us? Go and join Border Patrol first.
Really?
Join Customs and Border Protection. Get some experience, then come apply to us.
Interesting.
They were surprised to hear that. Even some of their own children, like had some of their recruiters come and talk to me and say, hey, you know, my son wants to do what I do, but he's like, I have classmates. They were in Border Patrol first, and they were great. They were great with firearms. They were some of the best ones. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we were proud of our firearms. Yeah, just our accuracy.
You're known for...
I hate to say it, but yeah, we're good gunfighters.
Like the Wild West.
Yeah, like the Wild West. So you'd even have these recruiters sending their own children to us to join.
To get the skills.
To get the skills, get the, you know, all the basic stuff. And then if they wanted to, move on to somewhere else. And we encourage people, you know, use it as a stepping stone. That's okay. Nobody's going to think any less of you if you come in and join us for a few years and put in for somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that did. I was going to do it. However, I learned that this was great for those reasons that I said earlier. Just, I love my job.
You were saying so. I mean, that's interesting because I was talking to another friend of mine that he's a pilot over on the base, and it's a joint effort between the Marines and the Border Patrol. They share hangars and all this kind of stuff. So they'll go out and they'll fly missions, you know, with support for each other. And I was really surprised to hear that, number one. Number two, it's funny to hear these pilots from the Marine Corps talk about the pilots from the Border Patrol, because they call them cowboys, because these guys can get to anything, anywhere. They're just like fearless, reliable, dependable, and they can track anything and anyone. Just from the air, they can, you know.
I believe it.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool to hear them talk like that.
I'm pretty proud of our pilots. They do an excellent job.
Yeah, the Marine pilots were like, you know, they're just very rigid. They're trained at West Point or wherever they're trained, you know, and it's just, you know, not that they're not good. They're great pilots too. It's just a difference in mentality. That's where the Border Patrol, it's kind of that cowboy. We got to get the job done. I don't care if this machine can do it or not. We're going to push the limits.
I've seen that done. Yes.
It's interesting, the mentality. That's pretty cool to know that you're part of that mentality, that we're going to get this job done no matter what it takes.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
But in the end, we're all on the same team, whether we're working with other agencies or military, we're all on the same team.
Was there ever a recruit that came to you where you're like, go try the CIA first and then come talk to us?
I mean, of course, this job isn't for everybody. We know that. And I think when people think of my job, they look at it through a political lens.
Oh, okay.
And I think with right now, the things that are going on, we are an apolitical agency. And again, I don't like to get into politics, but when it comes down to it, I work with some great men and women, and they are amazing, and we have each other's backs. And like you said earlier, we get the job done. Mm-hmm. If somebody's out there and hurt, we're going to find them. If somebody needs help from another agency, we're going to assist. For example, 3 weeks ago, we were called to a place right outside of where I work, that little remote, and somebody was wielding an axe and threatening his neighbor. Well, that's not really our jurisdiction or what we do. But however, the sheriff's department called us and said, hey, we're not going to be able to get there for like 20 minutes. Can you guys go? 10 of us showed up. We were there before the sheriff's deputy was there.
Oh, man.
So of course, we help each other out. And
it reminds me of, was it Uvalde, Texas?
Yes.
Remember that school shooting?
Yes, yes. Very sad.
I think the agents were the one, the Border Patrol agents were the ones that really responded.
There were other agencies there, but yes, the Border Patrol agents and BORTEC are the ones that went in and took care of business.
Mm-hmm.
There's been other instances where, I know most recently, there was a manhunt for an escapee in New York, state of New York. They couldn't find him. Who did they call? Call Border Patrol and the BORTEC, BORSTAR. They tracked him down and took care of business. Got it done.
That's awesome. Does every agent get taught tracking?
So we are taught basic tracking, what we call sign cutting, mm-hmm. in the academy. However, a lot of that really isn't learned until you're out there learning it.
Probably like a language. Yes. When you went to Ecuador,
you learn the basics.
You learned a little bit of Spanish, but it's not until you get thrown into it.
Put into practice.
Yeah,
that's one of those things that's learned. And there's some guys that are amazing. They can track on concrete and tell how much change you have in your left pocket. You know, some of those old timers. But I'm not quite that skill level. But it just kind of depends where you work as well.
We're out of time, dude.
Went probably pretty fast.
It went so fast.
But I appreciate you thinking about me, and I know. Yeah, I don't want to bore anybody on who's listening, but
nobody listens, so it's fine.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate that. It's been good. Yeah. And you guys do amazing work.
Yeah, so. You'll have to come back on. I love talking to you. Every time I talk to you, it's fun because I don't know how to articulate this, but even when for some reason you have this calming spirit about you, and I don't know if it's the way you talk or whatever, but I can sit here and listen to you forever. You're a calming influence. So it's the Navajo in you.
That's what it is. Navajo and Hopi.
Yeah.
Right.
I gotcha. Well, thanks for coming on, Lee.
Thank you so much for
be good out there.
Will. I will.
And good luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Good luck to everybody here.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Looking to stay informed on Yuma's business community? Tune in Wednesday, August 20th at 8 a.m. for the Chamber Chatter Show, hosted by Carrie Zaragoza, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Get the latest updates, business opportunities, and advocacy efforts that help our local businesses grow and thrive. Stay connected, stay informed, and support the community that supports you. The Chamber Chatter Show, Wednesday, August 20th at 8 a.m. Brought to you by the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, your voice for business.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Outings around the water are supposed to be fun. Help keep them that way by remembering the 5 layers of protection from drowning. Install fences and alarms around pools. Supervise swimmers vigilantly. Make sure everyone in the pool knows basic water skills. Use life jackets around open water and always prepare for the possibility of emergencies with rescue skills such as CPR. Together, these 5 layers can keep the good times good because anyone can drown. No one should. This message brought to you by the Greater Yuma Water Safety Alliance.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.